This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yeah, buddy, welcome in. It is the Monday edition of Cashing Out. Dustin Sweetelson live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Broadcasting, as always, on SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Appreciate you making us a part of your night. However you may be tuning in what is a very short, light slate in college basketball and the NBA, doesn't mean we can't have some interesting action and developments that we can take along the way when it comes to the futures market, projecting down the road as these seasons continue to progress. We got a fun show lined up for you tonight. We're going to hit a little bit of everything. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll have former college basketball head coach Mark Gottfried on the program. Want to ask him about this Darren Peterson situation with the Kansas Jayhawks putting a whooping on Houston, 67-51 with 2:48 remaining in the game. How does this team project in March? How big of a deal is it the way they've managed him over the course of the last few weeks? And will that be an issue in wanting to back them to win the whole thing, to make it to the Final Four, the Elite Eight, whatever it may be? Can Kansas do it? Because right now, when they are playing at their full capacity, they're as dangerous as anyone else is in the entire nation. We're also going to do a little Dead or Alive, looking at some baseball futures, including a guy I like in a bounce back spot to go 35 plus home runs at plus 280. We'll chat with Zach Cohen, VSiN senior editor over at VSiN.com, a little NBA, a little college with him. Jeff Erickson will talk baseball. We'll cherry pick trends coming up for the action coming up tomorrow. Pro bettors Chris Massaro along the way in our final hour, and a whole lot more, including the World Baseball Classic, the United States, the starting pitching just got a little bit thinner. It is a strength. They are the favorite. I'll explain what that means coming up later on in the show. But want to get you situated on where we stand for the night as we get things going here on Cashing Out. I mentioned Kansas with the lead, 67-51 over Houston. Houston hasn't lost three straight since 2017. The Kansas Jayhawks haven't lost back-to-back home games since 1988-89, and that trend's going to continue. Unfortunately, Houston's going to pick up their third straight loss, and man, it's the Big 12. It's the Big 12! It's murderer's row, man. Iowa State, Arizona, now Kansas. You're asking a lot from college kids. That's what I'd say. It's quite a run for them, and as much as I think people will look at this and say, well, Houston's not that good. No. At some point during a long season, every single team is going to go through this. Maybe this could be a buy-low opportunity when it comes to Houston, because this is a team 7.5-1 to win the title. I wouldn't touch it right now. That's what it was pre-flop. Maybe wait for an overreaction in the market here. Perhaps they balloon up to 10-1, 11-1. The one thing we've learned over the last few years is Kelvin Sampson's teams are designed to be successful in the dance. Once we get to the tournament, with the way their defense dictates the style and tempo of every game, because of that, I think Houston's a team I'd like to buy low on. We are not buying low right now at 7.5-1. We need that number to dip back up a little bit longer. I wouldn't go anything shorter than 10-1. Once it's around 10, 11-1, I think it's absolutely playable. Now you're in the ballpark of an Illinois, of a Florida, of an Iowa State who they lost to and probably should have beaten at Hilton about a week ago at this time. So looking at the situation right now for Houston, I think a lot of people are going to completely write them off. I would just say, based on the track record of Kelvin Sampson, that would probably be foolhardy. In case you missed it earlier today, in the ACC, of course, a game that we leaned and liked on North Carolina. We also liked the under. We didn't bet either of those things. We are getting annihilated with the bets tonight over at VSiN.com/picks, mostly because of the NBA. We are on the under in Kansas and Houston of 138.5 or 138. And right now they're projected at 129.5, Kansas laying 14.5. But earlier today, North Carolina upset Louisville 77-74. They were down, what, 8 or 10 at one point in this game. Game goes under the total of 162.5. But how about North Carolina without Caleb Wilson being able to sustain? They beat Syracuse, where for some reason they went off as an underdog on Saturday. I didn't really understand that one. And they come back home, where they do not seemingly lose under Hubert Davis recently. And they pick up the win against the Louisville team that, look, you're probably going to have a lot of people who haven't watched college basketball all season long once we get into March. They're going to make the case for all the metrics and the numbers and what Louisville offers as a scoring team. And I like Pat Kelsey as a head coach. I would not buy this team in March, okay? I don't really trust them completely. And this is an example of why. I know you're on the road. I know the Dean Dome is hard to play in. I understand all of those elements. But if you are truly a good team that can win a few games in the tournament, you got to take care of business against North Carolina squad that doesn't have their best player, who's going to be a top 10 pick in the draft. And you're a favorite on the road. And they didn't do that today. And that would concern me if I was someone wanting to back Louisville big picture come March Madness. Some other interesting developments from earlier in college basketball. McNeese State won over Texas Rio Grande Valley 75-68. They did not cover, the game went under the total. And then how about this? New Orleans upset Stephen F. Austin 77-73. The game went under the total of 151.5. SFA was an 11.5-point home favorite. They are the number one cover team in college basketball, but New Orleans has their number, picking up the win outright, 77-73 on the road at Stephen F. Austin. That's where we stand with the college basketball. Now let's kick it over to the NBA, where we had one marquee game tonight and a couple of duds in the Tankathon, although a wrinkle in Tankathon 2026 here coming your way momentarily. The early game was the Spurs taking care of business against Detroit, 114-103. Game went under the total of 232.5. Detroit went off as a 1.5-point favorite in this game, but San Antonio dominated at the end. It was close early on. In fact, it was a close game at the half. I believe Detroit was up by one. Wembanyama was good. I mean, a lot of rebounds, 17 rebounds. And see, last night I said on the show when we did starting five, it was a tough matchup for Wembanyama, but in big games, I'm not willing to fade him. And he answers, right? 21-17-4. So that puts him at what? 38-42 on his points, rebounds, and assists combined, 21-17-4. We missed a lot of bets on this game. Okay, we were on Jalen Duren over 1.5 assists at -164. That doesn't get home. Here's the problem. We laddered that over 2.5, over 3.5, over 4.5, because the Spurs allowed the most assists per game to centers, and he had 5-7 against them last year in two games. Duren had a monster performance, 25-14-1. He's a guy who's gotten down to 7-1 to be most improved player. I think that might be playable right now. We missed out on 20-1 about 4 or 5 days ago, but I still think he's in the conversation. Duren was amazing. A tough night for Cade Cunningham. 16 points, 6 rebounds, 10 assists, though. He also had 2 steals and 3 blocks. So let's file that away, because we have more to do when it comes to Cade Cunningham. Because in case you haven't looked recently, that MVP ticket, that price right now, is getting shorter and shorter by the day. And the math is starting to math that he may be the last man standing to win the award. I'll do more on that later. But when I want to pull back the curtain on Detroit and San Antonio, because just 2 years ago, these were two of the worst teams in basketball. Now, it helps when you have a Cade Cunningham. It helps when a Victor Wembanyama falls into your lap. But the reality is, in 2024, Detroit was a last place team. They had a 28-game losing streak. Right now, they're the one seed in the East. San Antonio in 2024 was 14th in the West. They had an 18-game losing streak, and currently they're in second place in the West. They are a scary team. They are a dangerous team. And it begins and ends with what Victor Wembanyama brings to the table offensively and defensively. He had 6 blocks in this game, by the way. 6 blocks for Victor Wembanyama there. And that's how things hashed out as far as that game is concerned. The other game that's gone final already is Sacramento picking up a win, 123-114 at Memphis. We go over the total of 232.5. But here's the thing, people. That snapped a 16-game losing streak for the team in Sacramento, currently slotted in to have the highest odds to get the number one pick. Well, they're tied with Indiana and Brooklyn at 14%. But you get my drift. Snaps a 16-game losing streak for them. They pick up the dub. They still have a couple games of wiggle room on Indiana and Brooklyn on their heels. But for the Kings, they get the win in a spot where you really, like, if you just looked at the numbers, you thought it was a smash spot for Memphis, because the Kings don't want to win. They don't want to do anything right now. They want to tank even harder, because coming into today, they were 8th in the lottery in terms of ping pong balls. So right there, Sacramento gets the win. We also lost another bet in that game. We lost Keegan Murray over PRA. I added it late. I thought about it all last night into today, and I was like, I kind of like it. I think I like it. I don't know if I'm going to bet it. Of course I bet it, and it loses. Dude, I can't pick my nose right now. We are running cold to start the week here on Cashing Out. And then right now, we have an NBA game currently going on. It is Utah at Houston. Big number here. Actually got bet down. Houston from minus 15 down to 12.5. Total from 224.5 down to 229.5. The Rockets lead in the third quarter 81-56. They're laying 27.5 in game. Total is 224.5. We have an under bet in this one. We went under on Filipowski. Points, rebounds, and assists at 24.5. Right now, 6:01 to go in the third. He has 7-4-3. That's 11-14. We should be okay. We'll see how that plays out. But that would be nice to pick up a win there. We did just pick up a win in Kansas and Houston. 69-56 is your final score. Just want to write that down. We go under. We had under 138. As Kansas covers as a slight dog at the fog, plus 1.5, 69-56 is your final score. Nice rebound spot for them against Cincinnati. And just worth noting, if you just played situational look-ahead spots in the Big 12 over the course of the last 10, 13 days, you've made a lot of money. With that, situations with Iowa State recently, with Houston recently, with Arizona going to Houston and Houston having Kansas coming up on short rest. Like, situational spots have been coming home. If you're only doing that, you're very profitable. If you're like me and you splash the board too much, you're in a bit of trouble right now. Hey, college hoop season is heating up, and the best betting stretch of the year is right around the corner. Right now, VSiN is offering our Hoops Mania special. Get VSiN Pro access from now through May 1st for just $29.99. You'll get all the best bets from every show, the betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video and full show replays over on the VSiN Watch app, plus our March Mania betting guide, including team profiles for every tournament team, key trends for each round, expert bracket and future strategies, and best bets from VSiN's top analysts. If you're betting the tournament, this is a must. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson with you from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, broadcasting as always Sirius XM channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. The fog has been lifted at Allen Fieldhouse. You see what I did there? The Kansas Jayhawks bounce back with a 69-56 victory over the Houston Cougars. Houston loses three games in a row for the first time since 2017, and Kansas continues the streak of not losing back-to-back home games since the 88-89 season as they pick up the win, third home win versus the AP top five for the Jayhawks this season. And they are a conundrum, man. They are a team that is very difficult to figure out what they're going to be come March, because we see the high end, but we also see the low end. And the low end begins and ends with Darren Peterson, who did fire back at critics earlier today. I saw a quote making the rounds, quote, "Basketball is my life. If I could have been out there every game this year, I would have. If you would have asked me last year what were my goals for this year, I would never mention missing games." Okay, but then why are you? Can I get an explanation? Because I keep coming back to, if you're load managing because you don't want to risk an injury because you're going to be the number one pick in the draft, he is still a slight favorite at minus 125 to be the number one pick in the draft. But I'd also ask Darren Peterson and his team, because I believe his team is heavily involved here, what are you hiding? What's the story? Give me the reason. What is the real issue? It can't be the flu. It can't be sickness. I just had the flu on like Friday. Okay. You can still hear it in my voice, in my throat. I'm basically speaking out of my nose right now. If you're listening, I appreciate you doing so, but I also apologize for that. I think there's something weird going on here, and I want him to explain exactly what he's scared to showcase or expose, and for that to be something he's fearful of. And I believe that is what is the key point in why he's approaching the season the way he is right now. That is my issue with Darren Peterson. Now, in the performance today, he played 30 minutes. Way to go, Darren, doing your job. 14 points, 2 of 7 from 3, not great. 4 rebounds and an assist. But this is the problem. if you don't play consistently with your teammates, you don't know where you fit in, especially in critical moments. I think that is probably the most glaring aspect of this Darren Peterson situation, is because he's not on the floor a lot, especially in late game situations, they don't know how to operate with him there. It's very different first half, early second half, but those final 3-4 minutes, especially when we get to the NCAA tournament, that is critical time. That is a juncture of the game where you better be on your P's and Q's. And without Darren Peterson understanding the flow of this offense with him in it as the focal point, that's a reason why you have to be concerned about Kansas. And I don't want to be concerned about Kansas. I have the Jayhawks 50-1 to win the title. I took a little bit more at 22-1. They're hovering around that number right now. Coming off this performance, Kansas is still 25-1. Okay? They have the upside to be the best in the country. Legitimately, Bill Self is that good of a coach. Darren Peterson is that transcendent of a talent. But do you trust them at 25-1? I have them already bet, and I don't trust them at 25-1. That's what I would say about this team. So speaking of college basketball, that's where we're going to start, as we do every Monday here on the program. We look back on the weekend that was with like, love, and loathe. And let's start in the Big 12. Sorry, I can't help myself. I love Coach Hawkins. It's my favorite rant of all time. I've never spoken to him about it. He's been on the show before. I worked with him in the past at SiriusXM. I would never bring it up, but to me, it's like the greatest clip of all time, him yelling, "It's the Big 12." I digress. Over the weekend, we had a couple of statements made in college basketball. Two teams that could very likely be meeting in the national title game, but Arizona and Duke passed major tests this weekend. First, Arizona punked Houston on Saturday, 73-66. This team just continues to pass test after test, and hand up, I was wrong about them. I have faded them so many times, but at this point, they're just so battle-tested, and they just keep coming through. They were extremely fun to watch in a tough road environment against a physical, grown men roster of the Houston Cougars. No Coach Pete, not a problem. Del Orso dropped 22 off the bench. They did it on a bad night. They dominated Houston on a bad night where they weren't good from the free throw line, 65%. They shot 25% from three, but when you're that balanced, you're that deep, you're that athletic, you can get buckets any which way you want it, and that's what you saw from Arizona. They're ready for any style of fight. You want to slow it down? They're ready for it. You want to speed it up? They'll outrun and gun you every single time. This team is so freaking good, and I'm kicking myself for doubting them at any point in time. When you look at what they've accomplished this year, I think it speaks volumes of the diversity of teams in which they've gotten through. Not just the rankings, but all the different styles. This goes back to my they're ready for any style situation. Over number three, Florida, that is a very specific style. Not a lot of three-point shooting, a lot in the post, and they beat them to start the season. Number 15, UCLA. Mick Cronin's a great defensive coach. He has a lot of offensive players. It hasn't come to fruition, and maybe playing Arizona early in the year broke them, and that's why they've been in such a funk all season long. You beat number 3, UConn, with the high-end scoring that they can offer. Number 20, Auburn, the way that they play. Number 12, Alabama, and the get-up-and-go, high-tempo offensive attack. And then also, number 13, BYU, a team that loves to have high-scoring affairs. Plus now, they've beaten number 2, Houston. The complete opposite of those last two teams. Slow it down, muck it up, physical basketball. Arizona's ready for any style of fight. Bring it their way. They've proven against the elites that do it all in diverse ways that they can do it against anyone. Their head coach, Tommy Lloyd, a guy who's come up short in some big games in the past, but he said he learns a lot when he coaches up against a guy like Kelvin Sampson.
What I'll say, you know, before I get all your guys' questions is, I don't know, you know, and I usually don't talk about myself, but I don't know what my coaching career is going to end up at, but I do know one thing. It's going to be I'm going to have become a better coach coaching against Kelvin Sampson, 100%. I mean, you know, you look at, you know, coaches that kind of set the benchmark in certain areas, and for me, he's one of them. You know, what he's done with this program down here, it's been amazing to me. The kind of run you guys are on right now down here reminds me, you know, where I came from. I was at this little old school called Gonzaga, and, you know, no one really believed, but they had a hell of a head coach just like you have. And you know, the head coach at Gonzaga and the head coach here at Houston have willed these programs to be elite. And that's really inspiring for me.
good stuff from Tommy Lloyd, who's got his best team. And I just think once you get into the NCAA tournament, they're going to be one of the few teams. This resume is unmatched. It's probably one of the better ones we've seen in the last 3-4 years. Tweet me at Dustin Sweetelson at VSiN Live. Who's had a better resume than Arizona and all the teams that they've beaten along the way? I'm curious who jumps out to you, because I can't remember anyone just quite this deep and that this diverse as what Arizona's gone through this season. Now, another coach who made a statement over the weekend would be Duke's John Shire. Now, they had a huge test, neutral court game against Michigan with the one seed on the line. Michigan, a bit of a more veteran roster, Duke relying on a few younger players, most notably Cam Boozer, who laid it all on the line, man. You got to respect it. In a time period when we're talking about Darren Peterson and the load management, Cam Boozer's like, no, put me on the floor, foul trouble or not, I'm going to find a way to impact this game. And he did. Duke plays together. That's the biggest thing that jumps out to me watching them. It starts with the defense. They let the defense create the offense. And let's be fair, they were never this good defensively under Coach K, especially at the end. It was a lot of one and dones. It was a lot of athletic guys who like to score. They weren't as committed on that end of the floor. John Shire, the last couple of years, his teams use the offense to create their defense. And that's why they can be so suffocating at times to opponents. But I mentioned Boozer played 34 minutes, 18, 10, and 7 for him. He's going to be your National Player of the Year. John Shire, to me, is the thing that stands out the most. Shire is better than Coach K the last couple seasons he was at Duke. K might have lost his fastball a bit. Shire's picked up and ran with it. He's taken it to a different level. He's 3 wins away from setting the record for the most wins for a head coach in his first 4 seasons. His first 2 years, he went 54-18. His last 2 years, he's 58-6 straight up. He's 33 years old. They lost 5 starters off of last year's Final Four team. Not a problem. They're right back in the mix. His coaching is getting this group on the same page quickly, showing that their chemistry, their ability, and willingness to defend, I think speaks volumes about him as a coach. He has them as the number one overall seed. That was on the line against Michigan. Here's what he had to say about the win over the Wolverines.
I think I do a pretty good job of just putting my blinders on, to be honest with you. I do. Like, I don't get into a thing of, like, there is separation or there isn't. I worry about what we can control. And so for me, it was the prep against Michigan, right? And they're as good as anybody. I mean, clearly. And, you know, we feel confident when we step on the floor. We should win that game. That doesn't mean that you can't be beat. Everybody can be beat. But I think the focus for us has to continue to go to, you know, winning in the margins. And I think when you look at, all right, Texas Tech and Carolina, it's one possession, right? Tonight, it's a one possession game down the stretch. And so for us, I think the value of being in all these games that we've been in this year, I think we've grown and we've learned and continue to understand what's required to win.
That's a great clip. Field of 68 with that information. Rob Doster, Jeff Goodman doing an awesome job with John Shire on the show after beating Michigan. I loved what I saw from Duke and Arizona. I mean, I'm not saying any breaking news here. I think you all know Duke and Arizona are awesome. Duke's -110 to make the Final Four. Arizona -105. At least one, if not both of them, are going to be there. When we return, the MVP race is getting juicy. I'll tell you what we can take out of that situation next on Cashing Out.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cruising along here on Cashing Out, I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Appreciate you making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. One late NBA game going on, and boy, I don't even have it on in studio. There is no point here. 8:08 to go. Houston leads Utah 109-84. Rockets laying 24.5, total 230.5. I'm just curious. I want to check in because there was a couple of good matchups in this game, but everyone's a good matchup against Utah. They're so bad defensively. We're sweating out a bet. It doesn't really matter because we're getting killed. We're on the under. Kyle Filipowski, points, rebounds, and assists. He has 7-4-3, so that's 14. We should be okay, but, I mean, you don't want to just say it outright. I thought Şengün had a solid matchup. Yeah, but he's not going to go over some of his props. Amen Thompson had a good matchup. He is right on the cusp, but I don't know if he's going to go over on some of his props. He has 27-3. Şengün has 14-8-8. 8 assists, though, for Şengün. That is impressive. Man, he can pass for a big man. He is Jokic light. Kevin Durant has 18 points, 12 assists, and 5 rebounds. It is so tough this time of year, and we'll get into it a little bit more later on in the show when we do the starting five. Looking at player prop matchups coming up for Tuesday, I'm starting to dive more into unders. I don't love betting unders early. Unders are more of something you want to bet like right before tip-off, because traditionally most of the public's going to bet overs, and once they push that number up, you'll get a better number. But I think right now the unders are where the value lies in getting ahead of those number moves. We bet under on 24.5 on Filipowski on his points, rebounds, and assists. I watched throughout the day. It dropped to 23.5, down to 22.5 at close. So we got a great number. I think unders the rest of the season with the great tankathon of 2026 coming our way. I do believe unders are going to be the way to look for a lot of these matchups going forward. So more on that later on in the show. Want to point out Ian McDonald with a text into the program. You can always email us. I'm going to butcher it. We can confirm it later. I'm sure Bill AD is listening and he can correct me. I believe our email is cashingout@vsin.com. I do get those emails. You want to email the show, cashingout@vsin.com. To be a part of the program, at Dustin Sweetelson, at VSIN Live on X. Ian McDonald, pro better, with a text to me. When I asked the question about Arizona's resume, he said, you know, I think Duke might be in the conversation as well. They played a lot of the same teams. He would be correct. I think the schedule for what Arizona did out of conference is a little bit more impressive. Duke opened with Texas. They played number 24 Kansas at the time, Arkansas, Florida, Michigan State, Texas Tech, and then their ACC schedule. Now Michigan, because of the Michigan element, it's right there. Duke and Arizona, two teams I just said I was impressed with in my like segment as part of Like, Love, and Loathe. Very similar paths and battle tested as we approach the month of March. With that, let's now move to what I loved from the weekend of action here. And that's in the NBA with the MVP race. You know, I'm curious when we gave this out, because we gave out Cade Cunningham MVP at 30-1. I just looked at the market and I thought the way he was playing with a Detroit team that I thought was going to be the one seed in the East, or at least contend for it, the case could be made. But this is a trap that I routinely fall into, and I always have to acknowledge it whenever we discuss it, is that I get very much caught up in the most valuable player, the value part of this conversation. Because you look around the league and you look at other leagues as well, it usually goes to the best player. And I don't think that's always true. I think the best season makes sense, like the best statistical season or the biggest moments make sense. But for the most part, you're going to get the best player, whoever had the best year. In the case of the NBA, because of the stipulations that they put on the awards market, the fact that SGA has been hurt and he's going to miss another two games, and Jokic was hurt and has since returned, and Denver is struggling, we have Cade Cunningham down to 5-1 for MVP. I saw another book had him under 4-1. I believe it was 3.5-1 a few hours ago. He didn't have the best game in a loss or in a loss to San Antonio earlier tonight, but his defensive stats are there. Offensively, he's making it happen. He's the engine that sets everyone else up. But more importantly, who is he passing the ball to? But before we get to all that, just want to point out some of the situation as how we got here with that number reducing all the way down to 5-1 for MVP. So Julian Edlow from DraftKings put this out earlier today. SGA was minus $4 for MVP the last time he played in the game on February 3rd. He's now minus 140, as you saw on the graphic, and has 7% of the bets for 5% of the handle since February 3rd. MVP splits since then. Cade Cunningham, 32% of the tickets, 30% of the money. Jokic, 9% of the tickets, 25% of the money. Wemby, 11% of the tickets, 14% of the money. Jaylen Brown, 17% tickets, 13% money. The NBA has a rule. You have to play 65 games to be eligible for the award. Tom Haberstraw put up some information. Now, it's a little dicey on how you can project these things based on pace, but I'll just share what he put out there. Cade Cunningham on pace to play in 73 games for Detroit. SGA on pace to play for 67, so slightly over that threshold of 65. Doncic is 64, his pace. Wembanyama 63, and Jokic on pace for 59. Now that factors in the chunk that they've all missed during the season, anticipating it may happen again. I don't know if that's necessarily correct. I would just say it's getting dicey. That's what I'd say for those other guys. And that's why Cade is live in this market right now. But I think more importantly, if we just set aside the games and the restrictions that go into that, the case for Cade is there. It's not just about he's going to be the last man standing playing 65 games and the others might not. Cade Cunningham's averaging 25.5 points per game, almost 6 rebounds per game as a point guard, 9.8 assists per game, plus 5.1 EPM. His team is the one seed. They're 42-14 right now. His second leading scorer on this roster is Jalen Duren at 17.8. Jalen Duren is having an incredible season, a breakout season. He is not the number two on a special team. He is probably a number three at best for you right now. Tobias Harris is your three. 13.5 points per game for him. No one has less help and is doing more right now than Cade Cunningham. You look at SGA. SGA still the favorite at minus 140 in the market to be the MVP, but Oklahoma City without him is 6-3 straight up. So your most valuable player, his team is 6-3, three games above 500 without him in the lineup. He's played 49 of 58 games with 24 remaining. He's missing two more. Thunder were expected to be great. They are very good. But are they meeting the expectations that we set earlier in the season? How about Nikola Jokic? He's there on the board. Second shot on the board right now to be the MVP. The Denver Nuggets, when Jokic was injured, went 9-6 straight up. They are 4-6 since he returned. The team is very good, but they have a lot of continuity issues. I'm not going to debate with you whether or not he's the best player in the world. He is the best player in the world, but you have to factor in that he missed a chunk of time. And when he missed time, this team was winning without him. I think that dings his case for most valuable player. Then we go to Victor Wembanyama. He's played in 42 of 56 games. He's missed 14. And San Antonio has big expectations. A lot of people think they could end up winning the Western Conference. This is a guy that's had a ton of durability issues. Are we sure the Spurs are going to risk what is on the line here in terms of big picture, winning a championship with Victor Wembanyama early in his career for him to win an MVP that he has a really outside chance of winning? He is on the outside looking in right now in the market. I think there's a chance Wembanyama is strategically rested throughout the rest of the season. You got Luka, you got Jaylen Brown. I don't really buy into the cases for either of them. Brown's numbers go up because of usage. He's having an awesome season, but there's no Tatum. So that means he has the ball more in his hands. And Luka plays no defense on a team that can't beat any team that has a pulse right now. If I'd make the case for anyone, I think it's Cade Cunningham. That's the one still at 5-1. If you want to talk about Donovan Mitchell at 120-1, but I don't think what he's doing is even close to Cade Cunningham, because let's compare them. Look at all the help that Donovan Mitchell has. He has an Evan Mobley. He has Jared Allen underneath to do that dirty work, right? He brought in James Harden. At one point, he had Darius Garland. They have a bench that you can rely on. They had DeAndre Hunter. Jalen Tyson's had a breakout season. Who is helping Cade Cunningham look good? If he had better players around him, he could be averaging 12 assists per game. Who even knows? I think Cade has a strong case. I think he absolutely can win this award. I think 5-1 is still worth a look if you haven't dipped into the market. Now, finally, here's what I loathe from the weekend of action in terms of sports. And we're going to go to the Olympics and hockey. And it's not that the U.S. won. It was amazing. I talked about it all show yesterday. But Connor McDavid won the MVP. You're going to have to explain this to me. Now, remember, this is a guy who also won Stanley Cup MVP in a losing effort a couple of years ago. He had 13 points in six games. I understand what he did here. He had a remarkable run, but Connor Hellebuck should have won MVP of the hockey tournament. Best save percentage in the tournament, the X factor for the U.S. After they won their first gold in 46 years. They don't get there. They don't win that game where the second period was on tilted ice going in Canada's favor, and Hellebuck was stopping everything in sight. MVP voting happened after the first period. I will remind you, the United States was winning 1-0 after the first period. With the technology we have, why do we have to vote so early for this? Why would it go to the team that's trailing in the championship game for the gold medal? This makes even less sense than ending this thing in a 3-on-3 in overtime. The voters are from the International Ice Hockey Federation, the tourney director, the referee in chief, the media officer, and stat competition management staff all vote on this award. That group of people couldn't get together right after the game ends and shared their votes? You can't get a group text going like my family does every time they want to talk about anything that happens in anyone's life? It's 2026. How about we utilize the civilization that we're a part of, have some technology in the fold, and rightfully give the MVP to a guy, I don't know, on the gold medal team? Give me a break. All right, I've got some baseball futures I want to share with you, including a bounce back home run prop next.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson here. You there? Thanks for making us a part of your night. However you may be tuning in, SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. One late night college or NBA game going on. Houston up 113-95 on the Utah Jazz. So right now, we're down to a 16.5-point spread. This thing got up to like 24.5. Probably should have thought about Utah at that point in time, but do you want to bet? You work hard for your money, man. You see where a dollar's going these days. I'm not trying to get political on you. Things are expensive. You want to put your money on the Utah Jazz in game, catching double digits, catching 20 points? I don't think that's a very smart thing to do with your money. I am not a financial advisor, especially based on the way I'm losing bets today. But right now, numbers down to 16.5, 113.95. Houston with the lead, 224.5 is your in-game total there. In terms of college basketball, we got nothing going on. I don't love that, man. Like, you got to understand your role in society. If you're college basketball, and this is the issue when you have the NCAA running things, why am I doing this with my hand? Like I'm at the Italian deli right now. Why am I? I've never done this in my entire life, but I'm still doing it as I speak. And you, those of you listening on the radio are like, what is he talking about? Well, you're going to have to go to YouTube TV or the VSiN Watch app to see it. I don't understand scheduling. I think in college football, the MAC has it right. The MAC goes, no one cares about us. Why would we just stack our lineup on Saturdays with every other college football team when they're playing? No one wants to watch us, so they take over Tuesday. That is the right approach. We need more college basketball programs on Mondays and two. Like, understand it's going to be a light slate. Take advantage of it. We had two games with the Power Four schools. That's it. Let's be a little bit smarter here. I know the season's almost over, but can we be a little bit smarter here? It annoys me, and maybe it's selfish because I'm sitting here. My job is to talk about the games that are going on right now, and the only game is the Jazz and the Rockets. All right. Anyway, with that, it is the time of year where we do have to start talking a little bit more baseball, and the baseball betting guide over at VSiN.com is up right now. You got to check this thing out. Jensen Lewis played in the league with the Guardians. Adam Burke's been covering baseball from a betting perspective forever. He's an analytics guy. Berkey's the best. Jensen's the best as well. I know they both can't technically be the best, but I don't want HR calling me because I disparaged one of them. So I'm just going to say they're both the best in their own ways. They did an awesome job on this guide. I keep using it to prep for a lot of the segments I want to do on the show, and they have all the information I need. I don't need to go anywhere else. All of that I'm looking for in terms of transactions for teams, who came, who left the organization, what the records were last year in terms of betting, win, loss, everything that goes into that, plus what we're looking at for this year, it's all right there encapsulated with each individual team preview. So I do suggest go checking out the MLB Baseball Betting Guide. And with that, I've started to add more futures to the old portfolio, and a few more I want to run your way. I'm going to do it with Dead or Alive. I'm sorry, I do it every time we play the Open. It's my favorite. So Dead or Alive, it's going to be a baseball themed edition of this right now. We did a lot of college basketball last night with Dead or Alive as we look at futures across the market. So you're going to tell me at Dustin Sweetelson at VSiN Live, cashing out at VSiN.com. You can email the show as well. Is this ticket dead or alive? American League pennant winner, the Kansas City Royals. Win total set at 81.5. Look in the VSiN MLB betting guide. Adam Burke likes it too. He likes over 81.5. I love this Royals team this year. They're plus 225 to win the AL Central. Give me everything, Kansas City. I think that they are absolutely live to win the Central at that price. Now, the problem with this bet, it mostly hinges on the health of Cole Reagans, because the offense should be formidable. They're moving the fences in. I think it's going to play a major role here in them having more power, which is something that they've lacked the last couple seasons. But Cole Reagans is their ace. Reagans is a guy who has dominant stuff, who misses bats, but to be fair, has not been very durable early in his season since they acquired him from the Texas Rangers. But if Cole Reagans is healthy, and he missed a lot of last year, I think he's a guy who can contend for the AL Cy Young. And because of him at the front of this rotation, with Lugo behind him, and Bubik, and Waka, and Noah Cameron, the lefty who emerged last year, and Ryan Burgert, who they traded for late last season, they even have a couple prospects that could come up along the way. I think their offense is legit. I think the pitching is absolutely strong. 1-5, they're going to be in a lot of these games. Bobby Witt is an MVP candidate. Get used to it. He's pretty short, around 5, 5.5 to 1 to win the AL Most Valuable Player. If this team wins the Central, there is absolutely a path for him to win that award with the counting stats that he's going to put up across the board. Runs, hits, home runs, steals, RBI. He's going to have a very good batting average. He is a complete five-tool player. You expect that Jack Caglione should have a better sophomore season. The power is there. He just rose through the minors way too quickly and wasn't ready for the moment. They added Isaac Collins and Lane Thomas into the outfield. Those are two respectable outfield bats that should be able to do a bit of a damage here that they weren't getting production out of a season ago. And then Vinny Pasquantino, he's become a really reliable power guy, and with the fences coming in, I think 30 home runs is absolutely in the conversation for Pasquantino. I think they're a better offense than the Tigers, who are favored to win the Central, and I think their pitching is absolutely going to hold up, especially if Reagans can give them 25 to 30 starts. What do you think, dead or alive? Kansas City 17-1 to win the American League. The next one we want to look at here for dead or alive, you tell me, do you think this is doable? James Wood, over 23.5 home runs, minus 115 juice. He hit 31 last year. Just 7 in the second half, though, which is why there's some concerns and this number is as low as it is. His 162 game average on 236 games in the majors is 40 home runs per season. I know he has no protection in that Nats lineup this year. His home runs are going to get cut in half, though. We're going to go all the way down to 23.5. What are we looking at here? Feels like this is a bit of an overreaction. I'm looking at a guy that has elite power. And there's going to be a lot of blowouts where the Nats are losing by 4, 5, 6 runs. I don't think teams are going to throw around James Wood. I think they're going to pitch to him, let him beat him with solo homers. 23.5 feels so low. Looking at some of the stat projections, you know, RotoChamp has 4 of their 6 projections, having him clearing this number. Fangraphs has him hitting 27. And if I know Fangraphs well, they're usually pretty conservative with their numbers. When I look at James Wood and his stick, I think he has the upside to hit 40. I think he's a guy who's going to be closer to 33 than he is to 23. That's why I like him over 23.5 home runs for 2026. The next bet we're going to look at in dead or alive for Major League Baseball is a bounce back candidate in a team that I really, really am into this year in the Baltimore Orioles. And right now, Gunnar Henderson, coming off an injury-riddled season, to hit 35-plus home runs is plus 280. And there's no way around it. This is a dude who had a terrible 2025. He was 24 years old. He dealt with injuries from the beginning of the season. Dove for a ball early, which led to an impingement and then inflammation in his left shoulder. He also had a left intercostal strain. I don't know what an intercostal is. I just think, looking at me and my athletic prowess, I probably never developed an intercostal, which is why I'm sitting here talking to you and not playing in the bigs. But his swing became a lot choppier throughout the season dealing with all those injuries, and he was not lifting the ball as much. 17 homers last year after hitting 38 in 2024, 28 in 2023. This is a dude who finished fourth in the AL MVP race 2 seasons ago. He's about to turn 25 years old in the month of June. On top of that, Camden Yards is moving the fences in. Now, it's mostly in left center, but let's factor in maybe that's a few opposite field home runs that Gunnar Henderson could end up punching out that weren't getting out of the ballpark a year ago. Is it dead or alive? Gunnar Henderson, plus 280 to hit 35-plus home runs. The last one in dead or alive I want to bring up here for MLB Futures, I was honestly flabbergasted at this number. Hunter Green's season-long strikeout prop is set at 206.5. That is a huge number. I love Hunter Green. I've bet him to win the National League Cy Young the last 2 years, but that's a crazy projection. He's never thrown more than 169. He has cleared 150 innings one time in his career 2 years ago. He made only 19 starts last year, 107.2 innings pitched, 132 strikeouts. I think you're asking a lot for a guy that has just not been out there and durable. Projections I'm looking at have him between 164 and 184. If he gets to 165, he can probably clear this number. His stuff is elite. It's crazy. If he were ever to really throw 165 innings, he'd put up monster numbers. But how can you pencil that in on a guy who the only two traits you know about him, live arm with a great fastball, and he doesn't pitch a lot. Those are the two traits that you know about Hunter Green. I think it's worth betting the under 206 and a half strikeouts at -140 on him because the number is so lofty and you could potentially bet against it a little bit later if he ends up coming close to it with some other plays along the way on his over props in season. So those are the props wanted to throw your way. Let me know at VSiN Live at Dustin Sweetelson. Get ready to win a larger than life World Soccer Championship experience only at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. One lucky winner scores a 2-night stay at Circa, a VIP cabana for the games at Stadium Swim with $500 in credit plus $250 in food and beverage. Enter now and kick off the World Soccer Championship at Circa Resort and Casino. For giveaway details, visit CircaLasVegas.com. How should we attack the NBA coming up on Tuesday? Zach Cohen breaks it down on the other side of Cashing Out.